Este es Alejandro Ruiz del Grupo del Castillo. Están escuchando a WMNF Tampa. Música, tu música. This is Alex Ruiz from the band Del Castillo, and you're listening to WMNF Tampa. Música.
The opinions presented on the Healthy Steps show are the evidence-based opinions of Dr. Fred Harvey, the callers, and his guests. These are not the opinions of the staff, the volunteers, or the board of WMNF. The information provided on the show is not intended to diagnose or treat any disease. There is no implied patient-physician relationship in these calls. The nature of the calls is educational and informational only.
Good morning, my dear kindred friends, and welcome to the Healthy Steps radio show here on WMNF Tampa, where both truth and great music proudly call it their home. And it's the only radio station that the Cult of Scarrow streams, and you can stream us as well at WMNF.org. Great googly moogly. Sure as I'm sitting here, within our reach are little pearls of medical knowledge. Welcome to our Ask Me Anything edition of the Healthy Steps radio show, the purest link between you and Dr. Harvey. Today's show is, as always, dedicated to you. So you know what to do. If you have any medical questions or concerns, just give us a little jingle at 813-239-9663. Don't be an L7. Irene has dedicated her morning to taking your calls, so please, I beseech you, don't let this angel at the control room down. Again, that number to call is 813-239-9663. And you can also send an email to dj@wmnf.org or text us at 813-433-0885. Well, Dr. Fred, AMA always seems to bring out the best in our listeners, and I'm darn near febrile with excitement about the possibilities that lie ahead in the next hour. With the seconds just tick, 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 ticking away, I'm just taking up too much time and space as a humble servant of this show. So let me make haste and go. I'll turn this show over to you. What's the scoop today, Dr. Harvey?
Well, that was another beautiful introduction from Mr. Bill Grace. You probably all didn't notice that that was pre-recorded. In our studio today, the producer is DJ Spaceship. Thank you, DJ, for running the boards. And Bill is the only person that I know of that uses the phrase great googly moogly in public discourse. I, too, am a fan of Frank Zappa, but that really amused my Monday morning. Today, I thought I'd, rather than talking about, you know, politically active health-related issues, I would dive back into some basics. You know, I have a lot of people that ask me, how can I do this with food rather than taking fistfuls of supplements? So there are some things we can do. Sometimes really, I got to emphasize, concentrated nutritional supplementation is really super helpful. In fact, it might even be necessary. I hate to say it that way, but it can be, because sometimes people are so sick that they need something really, really potent to actually create the shift that they need in their physiology. Medications, pharmaceutical medications do that. They're like a sledgehammer. You go in there and you take this chemical and just whack the heck out of your cellular metabolic systems and mechanically make it work a different way. And it's because we figured out that there are these pathways within the cells, pathways of chemical activity, cascades of enzymes that trigger this, trigger that, and change things for the better or for the worse. And all of the systems that we have inside our body that are naturally running are intended to contribute to our survival, truly intended to improve our vitality and make the cells run better. The problem is sometimes we get erroneous signaling, and these errors in communication within result in some of these systems running too hot, too hard, too long. You know, when you overheat your car, the engine breaks down. And that's kind of what we're looking at in many diseases. And what we want to look for, Eastern philosophy brings us a concept of yin and yang. Yin and yang, masculine, feminine, aggressive, calm, different ways of looking at it, but there are balances in our metabolic systems. And when the system, with its own checks and balances, gets derailed, and we have one system that's running too hot, and the other is not able to calm it down, this is when we develop dysfunction and then disease. Inside of our cells, there are two systems that tend to balance each other out. One is called nuclear factor kappa beta or nuclear factor kappa B. This one is a really important enzyme transcription factor. It works in the nucleus. It works to trigger certain genes and enzymes to become active. And it's critical for human health. It really is important in helping to get rid of infections and other things. However, it can be triggered way too much. And a lot of us live in a state of triggered nuclear factor kappa beta. And this is because we run around with an upset microbiome in our belly. We have the inappropriate bacteria growing there that people in the first world who eat a very luxurious diet tend to have a different group of bacteria living in their guts than the people who live in the third world and eat a completely different kind of diet, which is high fiber and lower in protein and fat and sugar than what we have. The Western diet creates an environment in which these unwanted critters grow in our gut, and they actually create these things called lipopolysaccharides. Lipopolysaccharides are chemicals that these bacteria make that aren't normally in our body, and they trigger inflammation. And so many of us walk around in a state with triggered inflammation, and this NFKB actually results in the production of various autoimmune, inflammatory, and malignant disorders. So rheumatoid arthritis, atherosclerosis or coronary artery disease, inflammatory bowel diseases, multiple sclerosis, and cancers. Many cancers are actually triggered by this inflammatory gene. To balance that out, the body has something called nuclear regulatory factor 2. Nuclear regulatory factor 2, excuse me, there's somebody blowing outside the door if you can actually hear it, sorry. Nuclear regulatory factor 2 is the calming system. And there are some things you can do supplement-wise to make this NRF2 activated. There's, supplemental things called cytokine balance is one of the ones I like. But within that, there are actual foods, high concentration of food extracts, but still it's food. So if we want to really look at actually down-regulating the cancer-causing inflammation-causing nuclear factor kappa B, we want to activate nuclear regulatory factor 2. And we do that by eating some really good stuff, simple stuff. It's right there available for us in Publix, in any grocery store you got nearby. You can grow it in your yard too. One of the chemicals in this combination is called glucoraphanin. Glucoraphanin is a type of chemical called an isothiocyanate. What it has in there is sulfur. Sulfur is very important because sulfur is hugely detoxifying. And glucoraphanin comes from broccoli. So if you eat broccoli, you get glucoraphanin and you get protection for your cells. You turn on NRF2 that turns off nuclear factor kappa B. And so you have reduced inflammation and a reduced risk of cancer. Glucoraphanin, it's got another name when it's metabolized by your good microbiome. Your bacteria in your belly turn glucoraphanin into something called sulforaphane. Sulforaphane is the chemical. That is the active one that goes to your liver and helps it get better. It goes to your brain and turns off Alzheimer's. And it goes to your heart and it improves vascular disease. This is an amazing food, and anytime you eat broccoli or any of the brassicas, broccoli sprouts have the most, but cabbage, arugula, and kohlrabi all have glucoraphanin. pterostilbene. That is methylated resveratrol. Now, that sounds like a lot, but resveratrol is that red pigment in red grape skins. And so you can get it from eating red grapes. However, to get the concentration, you might want to get a concentrated extract, because the other source for it is called Japanese knotweed root. And I don't know many people that actually eat that as a food, but you can still eat the red and dark purple grapes to get these pigments that are really helpful. It is a phenolic compound. Phenolic compounds in our vegetables are one of the phytochemicals that really help us stay strong. Curcumin, that is the yellow pigment in turmeric root. So if you want to have good health, you should have turmeric root in your stir fries, in your curries, on a regular basis, in smoothies. You can buy it in powder form, you can buy it in extract form, and you can get it in these capsules in a highly extracted form. Curcumin, 95% curcuminoids are very highly active. Green tea is another really good source for a phenol, a polyphenol called epigallocatechin gallate. Hugely beneficial in cancer, helps to turn back squamous cell cancer of the skin, and is really good at balancing this nuclear factor kappa beta so you can actually get less inflammation and have a better life. But to have a better show, we need interaction. I need to remind everybody that we are on WMNF 88.5 Tampa, and you can reach us at dj@wmnf.org, or you can call us at 813-239, I believe it's 9663. Greg, can you help me? Yes, there it is. I scrolled to the bottom, 813-239-9663. And I do believe we actually have a caller on the line, and I would be glad to chat.
Hello.
Hello there. How are you today?
Hey, Dr. Harvey, doing great. It's a great spring day here in Chicago. How about you?
Absolutely. A beautiful day in Florida.
Great. It's like same here. It's beautiful. Hey, I have three questions now. Very simple. One was a takeoff on what I just heard about green tea. I do ceremonial matcha latte, organic from Japan. I make a latte out of it. It's not served in a bag like green tea where you soak it. It's a powder that you kind of use a bamboo whisk to blend into, you know, almond milk, whatever milk I make. Is that the same type of benefit?
Actually, it's a higher benefit, because usually when you're buying matcha, the fresh ground leaves, you're getting more chemicals in the leaves that you're going to actually drink the leaves, the ground leaves. The matcha is fresher than what you're going to find in tea bags. And you can tell it's fresh when it's bright, vibrant green. If it's gone to a dull olive, you know it's time to buy some new matcha, because you want the bright green stuff.
Good to hear. I do that kind of almost on a daily basis. And it gives me like caffeine kick before I train. My second question is, I met with some amazing holistic people in the city, which is kind of serendipitous, and we're all on board with energy and health and positive thinking and good eating. And one of the questions brought up, because a lot of us eat tons of vegetables. I'm not vegan, but I do eat handfuls of an organic blend of Swiss chard and dark green spinach. Can't think of the main one that's used, but I use those on bags of those. In 2 days, I'll go through two bags. I eat tons of organic broccoli. I'm always eating green vegetables. And one of the questions brought up by the group was, are you concerned about oxalates? And I'm like, I've kind of read about that, and that they are like microcrystalline substances and get in the cells and cause damage into the tissues. It's more people are sensitive than that, but maybe you could address that. Is this something I need to worry about? Would there be symptoms? But I eat a lot of green vegetable. And then my last question.
Well, I'll just tell you that one is easy. If you're eating lots of vegetables and you're staying hydrated and you don't have joint or muscle pains after a big meal of spinach, then you probably don't have an oxalate problem. Certain people don't eliminate oxalates well, but so things that will delay that, kidney disease and lack of good fluids. If you keep yourself hydrated, you tend to keep it dilute enough, it doesn't become a problem. And your third question?
My third question is, I'm on 8 supplements, including a probiotic, a digestive enzyme. I take D3 in the winter time. I do Regenimax and Sinovax because I've had joint issues and when I'm training, and it's worked great. And then I do turmeric because that's my anti-inflammatory, a multivitamin mineral, and quercetin complex. My question is, and coming from a paramedic flight medic background with polypharmacy, where people have just prescribed all these different drugs and there's interactions between the drugs and nobody addresses it, can the same thing happen with these supplements where I'm taking a small handful of them at every, twice a day? Could they not be working as effectively, or are they working as effectively, or could they be blocking each other's benefit if I take them all together? It's something I always wondered about, these different supplements.
So, and the way I look at supplements is their food. And yes, certain foods will interact. Like, some people don't do well mixing fruit with meat. And so if you find that combining your supplements causes some stomach upset or anything different, I think that would be an issue. But certain supplements are better on an empty stomach. If you're taking amino acids for brain health, you might want to take them on an empty stomach before breakfast, at bedtime, things like that. And then certain things you want to get into your liver, you might want to get that in before your meal. Might want to get a brain herb after a meal so that it doesn't get caught up in liver metabolism. But there are no interactions per se between nutrients as there are with pharmaceuticals, because pharmaceuticals actually interrupt your normal processes in your body. They change things, whereas the supplements actually work with your systems, and they're the raw materials you need to build things, and the pharmaceuticals are not that.
Makes sense. My last question is, there's been discussion because of some things with mucus and all that I might have GERD, which is surprising, but I take a digestive enzyme because I'm thinking, I'm 67, I demand a lot out of my body, I want to get full nutritional benefit from digesting food. My weird question is, can I be like telling my pancreas to kind of shut down a little bit by taking a digestive enzyme, since I'm going to have those there? And then the digestive enzyme, should it not, or should it have betaine hydrochloride? Because I've read that you want to avoid acidic foods, and betaine hydrochloride is hydrochloric acid, but that actually can help GERD. Could you maybe help me a little on that aspect?
Yeah, I think that the pancreas works fine with or without enzymes. If it's not working, you need extra enzymes, but it doesn't change it, from what I understand, because it's not working like a feedback loop like it would be with a hormone you're taking. But if you have GERD, you might want to look at histamine-containing foods as a trigger for GERD.
Yeah, I avoid all legumes and all that. I don't. Oh, those aren't histamine. Those are
lectins. Fermented foods, tomatoes, avocados, aged cheeses, those are big in histamine.
Okay. You've mentioned those in the past. I'll look that up. So should I not take the betaine hydrochloride additional? I can get a digestive enzyme without that, but I was told that actually it helps GERD to take a...
Depends on the individual.
Okay. I'll just monitor that. Hey, I really appreciate the great insight today, once again.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You
stop
too.
By the stop by the tip jar if you would. Support WMNF. I think we have John on line 2.
Hello.
Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning. I've heard you talk about olive oil before, Doc, and I was wondering, I thought I'd start taking some, but is there different types, or the more expensive it is, the better it is, and how much should you take? And
so olive oil has some great benefits, especially if it's first cold pressed and unfiltered. You have some really good polyphenols in there that help your vascular system and are great anti-inflammatory antioxidants. You do want extra virgin, first cold pressed, organic. There are some really good varieties out there. You don't have to buy the most expensive one because those are usually, small orchards, very specific high-end kind of stuff. But if you look at Consumer Reports, they give a good breakdown. Other people give some good reports, but I understand that California Olive Ranch is one of the highest rated. Even the Whole Foods 365 organic brand has been high rated, but you definitely want a first cold press organic unfiltered. That is for your salads, and then
Two tablespoons a day?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Oh, great. All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. I think we have another John.
Yes, hello. This is Con calling from Lakeland. How you doing this morning?
Hey there. I'm doing well. How are you today?
Very good. Very good, doctor. For time's sake here, get to the point. About 2.5-3 years ago, I'm in my late 40s. Never had any GI issues in my life, but looks like one of the doctors diagnosed me post-infectious IBS/SIBO and put me on a round of antibiotics and really didn't do much. I sought out a different doctor, functional medicine doctor, did a 3-day GI test, stool test. Even she was surprised that the GI output, the bacteria, didn't show real out of balance. Ended up on antibiotics. Bacteria showed in my gut that I was immune to some type of antibiotics, which put me on one antibiotic and then put me on an antifungal. That pretty much cleared it up, and then she gave me a berberine supplement, cleared it up, and then it came back. And then for the last 3 years, it goes away 3 months, comes back, goes away 3 months. So we're just in that battle. Any suggestions? Am I doing something wrong? I know you're big into the functional medicine, obviously, and we've been just going back and forth on it.
Yeah, so SIBO often is a waxing and waning, remission and then flare up kind of thing, often related to diet, could be related to stress. So has anybody worked with you to help adjust your diet to a FODMAP diet or anything like that?
Correct. Yeah, FODMAP and then an antihistamine. I run twice a week. I'm in healthcare myself, and I do a lot of exercise and organic eating and nuts and stuff. So my diet hasn't changed. It was just very strange. And even when I improved on the bowel movement, the diet was still the same. It was I'm a high vegetable eater, an organic eater. No caffeine. I just do water because I run and exercise. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the diet situation didn't really address it, and then she was.
So did you have methane or hydrogen SIBO?
I'm not really sure exactly. It's been a year or so ago since we did it.
So it sounds to me like you may have methane, which is very much different in treatment. And difficult to deal with, requires a medication called neomycin often. Were you treated with neomycin?
I was, and that was very helpful. Yes, I was.
Yeah. You might want to get another SIBO test with your doctor and find out where you stand with that at this point.
Okay. All right. Yeah, thank you.
Best wishes on that. It's a long haul usually.
It's very frustrating because it's just hard to deal with, lifestyle-y.
Yes.
So you think that would be the way to go with that?
That's where I would go. With you telling me all the things that you've done, I think it's worth it to look at your SIBO test again and see where you are a year out. Yeah.
A year out. Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Now I think I have some emails. What are my recommendations for someone with stage 2 chronic kidney disease? So stage 2 is the earliest anyone would ever talk about chronic kidney disease. Usually we wait until stage 3, which is when there's the first signs that the filtration rate of your kidneys has dropped into a sluggish range, so to speak. Not gone, but slower. Stage two is just lower than normal, but not risky at all. So the things to do for stage two chronic kidney disease are to avoid insults to the kidney. Try to eliminate as many toxins, pesticides, toxic metals, smoking, alcohol. Drink lots of water. Take a good multivitamin, probiotic, fish oil. The last person just on here talked about the 8 supplements he takes. I did not hear fish oil there, and I think fish oil is a critical addition to anybody's supplement list, unless they're eating sardines and anchovies and canned mackerel pretty often. You probably need some. But stage 2 chronic kidney disease, not much to worry about. I'd say just do those basic things. Here's one. A woman, 77 years old, very healthy. Bone density test found osteoporosis. Doctor recommended resedronate, a bisphosphonate. And after 2 months, she had worsening pain in her joints, shoulders, wrists, hip, not in the hips, but down in the knees. Have not taken any since mid-March, but her pains persist. So the reason for the pain in the bones is not clear. And so we would like to figure out what's going on there. I have seen one or two people that got a bisphosphonate and then did get bone pain. It could be that their bone cells responded poorly to the medication. As far as detoxification of the bisphosphonate, it will just be time. I don't think there's any specific medication that will get it out. Water should help flush it out because it's basically a detergent. And it will come out over time. A good substitute for the moment, since the bisphosphonate was a problem, would be orthosilicic acid. I use one called Regenimax. There's another one called Biosil, but that could help. But I would also, before starting any medication like that, resedronate, any bisphosphonate, or even supplements, would be to check an entelopeptide. It's N-TELOPEPTIDE, or the NTX ratio, which tells us how much bone you're losing. I can watch the bone loss go down when starting medication. It's a really good way to watch the metabolism rather than just having to wait for 2 years to get another bone density. Another test is called PINP. That's pro-collagen N-terminal peptide. That looks at how much collagen you're making to build up your bones. Here's another one. Hey, Dr. Harvey, you spoke of the benefits of sulfur. Can you get some of those benefits from drinking sulfur water like we can get from local wells in Manatee County? Well, actually, you probably do get some benefit from that sulfur because it's not all organic sulfur. Not all inorganic sulfur. There's some hydrogen sulfide in there because you can smell the egg gas sometimes when the sprinklers are going. So sulfur is really good at binding up mercury and other metals, and it's really useful in detox. So I'm just not sure how much benefit you get out of the water itself. Organic sulfur in the form of sulforaphane or glucoraphanin from a plant is really easily utilized by the body. And here we have one. Tardive dyskinesia. Do I have any suggestions of managing tardive dyskinesia? So this is a description of a neurologic condition that occurs when people actually are treated with certain medications. One of the most common ones is antipsychotic medications. Brain active ones will cause this because this dyskinesia is an uncontrollable movement of the body. And it is usually resolved when they stop the medication. The other things that can actually contribute to that would be things that would stimulate brain inflammation. And Colleen was talking about her daughter's issue with a severe gluten reaction. And that was why she was actually getting some hallucination, which is why they put her on the medication that caused the adverse reaction. Most of the tardive dyskinesia goes away, so it may be actually very useful to help with some brain rebuilding supplements. And that would start, from my perspective, with fish oil. Fish oil is critical because a huge amount of your brain is insulated, I should say, with omega-3 fatty acids. But we also need good fat-soluble antioxidants, vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E, vitamin K. Alpha-lipoic acid is another good detox and anti-inflammatory antioxidant that really helps the brain. And then the cytokine balancer that I was talking about that has taro, stilbene, glucoraphanin, curcumin, and green tea, these all actually support brain detox and may help to improve that. But other things that can help, acupuncture calms down the system, meditation may help, and energy work of different types. I think we have a caller.
Yes, hello?
Hello, Johnny.
Hey, how we doing?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you. I was calling kind of a random question. I've been dealing with some flat warts on my hands for about 8 years. Things are very stubborn, and I've tried, go into the dermatologist. They freeze them. We try some really strong prescription creams that just torch the skin. Everything peels off, kind of looks like they're gone. And then it's like they just always keep coming back. I just want to know, is there anything like dietary or any advice you could give me at all?
Yeah, so warts, obviously, they're a recurrent viral infection. And so your body is apparently fertile for this wart. It's not reacting to it for some reason. So things you can do to wake up the immune system a bit, using an extract of mushrooms and or oats called beta-1,3-glucan, G-L-U-C-A-N. That stimulates your natural killer cells, the cells that kill viruses. And so taking some of that every day could actually help your immune system wake up and respond. Green tea, epigallocatechingralate, has been shown to actually help with some skin lesions like that. Andrographis, I use a combination called Viragraphis from Zymogen. Viragraphis is an antiviral that has really, really strong properties. And then a homeopathic remedy called Thuja, T-H-U-J-A. That is used for warts as well. And so you might find that in the Boiron rack, B-O-I-R-O-N, at your local health food store. Or you can find it online. So there's a couple of different things you could use to help stimulate Fuja. The body to wake up.
And that's Thuja, P-H-U-J-A?
T as in Tom, H-U-J-A.
I got Fuja. The Zymogen brand. I've used them for some other stuff, the Sinovex and stuff like that. So, okay, so that's good. And then when you say green tea, is that like a topical thing or just drink some good, strong green tea occasionally?
Do it from the inside. You could actually take the cytokine balancer from or just straight up green tea. Cytokine balance works on a lot of different systems. So I really like that one that you could pick up from Zymogen as well. But you could actually, there are some skin companies that make some green tea creams that may actually have some activity on the skin too. So you might try a bunch of different ways of hitting this since it's been there for 8 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm up to try really anything at this point.
Yeah, I hear you.
So, yeah, I work around water a lot, so my hands are always wet. So I'm guessing that's probably how these things were introduced and maybe why it's taken so long to get rid of. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, actually, there's somehow you're getting reinfected probably, but It just could be also that your system just keeps breaking down because your hands are always wet and you just need more good emollients and things to keep your hands from the skin from breaking down.
Okay. All right, Doc. I appreciate that.
You're so welcome. Have a great day and good luck getting rid of these things. So, hey, I just want to remind everybody, this is WMNF 88.5 Tampa, and we are waiting for more phone calls today. I got some emails. I'll go to those. But just remember, you can get a hold of us at 813-239-9663. You're already doing a great job of emailing dj@wmnf.org. And when you get done with that email, pop by the tip jar and support our lovely radio station. Thank you so much. And here's one. John asks, please give me some advice on buying the right fish oil and the right probiotics. And what is an ideal dose of alpha lipoic acid? So right fish oil. You want to look for clean fish oil. Many good companies are out there. Carlson, Nordic, Zymogen. And what you want to see, if they do not have the sticker or the emblem IFOS, the International Fish Oil Standard. That's a third party that does a lot of fish oil testing. If it doesn't have that one, at least make sure that it says that it's been third party tested and it is clean of mercury and other heavy metals and free of petrochemical toxins and that it's not rancid. You want to make sure the fish oil is not rancid. You don't want to be taking that stuff. And so those can all be tested for, and they can be attested to by a third-party company. Another thing you want to do is make sure that the pill that you're getting, the capsule you're getting, has enough fish oil or has enough active omega-3s in it. I see these 1,000-milligram fish oil caps that only have 100 milligrams of actual active ingredient. Most of it's just filler oil, and so you're getting ripped off. The ones I use have, they're 1,000-milligram capsule, but they have 900 milligrams of omega. So you end up needing to take only, say, three of those to get to your fish oil dose for the day if you don't eat oily fish. But I eat salmon and mackerel and things like that on a regular basis. And so I take less capsule fish oil. But you want to make sure that when you do get tested, and you should get tested to make sure that you have adequate fish oil to keep your brain healthy, you want to see that your fish oil level is around 8% of your total oils in your body. Probiotics. The way you look for a good probiotic is by reading the back label, and then when you see the name Lactobacillus acidophilus, after that name, you should see an alphanumeric designator, something like LA14. If it has that after there, you know that this is a genetically identified strain. It is actually owned by a company, and that strain is leased to other companies to manufacture. So all of the ones in the Zymogen probiotics that I use have license plates. I call them license plates because they kind of look like that, letters and numbers after the name. And so Zymogen has actually leased in these supplements, these probiotic supplements that it manufactures, is leased the organisms from the company that owns them to enable them to manufacture a really high quality supplement. If it doesn't have the license plate after the name, if it doesn't say after Bifidobacterium infantis, if it doesn't say BI005 or something, you know that the company that's selling to you doesn't know for certain that's what's on the label. They hope it is, but they haven't done due diligence to make sure that it is. The only way they can do that is by genetic straining. And that's the kind that I recommend you take because then you know you're not getting a toxic probiotic. Alpha lipoic acid has a variety of dosing. Many people do fine with just a bit, depending on what they need. 100 milligrams in a combination that has some N-acetylcysteine and some milk thistle is a really good basic liver detox formula that helps to build up your glutathione and help you get clean. But if you have something bad going on, like a diabetes-related peripheral neuropathy, we know that you can treat that neuropathy with high-dose alpha-lipoic acid. When you go to high dose, though, you can get heartburn because it's an acid. So I like time-release alpha-lipoic acid. I use a 600-milligram one 2 to 3 times a day for people that have had burning, painful, neuropathic feet because after 2 or 3 months, often that pain will resolve. But you don't need that big a dose if you don't have significant medical problems. And let's see. Jim asks, I just met a friend of a friend who was diagnosed with Guillain-Barré syndrome. After he got a flu shot, he is now wheelchair bound, paralyzed. So Guillain-Barré syndrome is a neurologic complication of inflammation. We often see it after vaccines. It's a vaccine injury related thing because it's an autoimmune attack on the nervous system. It can happen after viruses too. A smaller version of it, really very similar, is Bell's palsy. People often will result with a Bell's palsy after a cold sore or after a cold or some other kind of facial viral event. And so these nerve damage syndromes can resolve and often do. However, sometimes they take quite a while, especially somebody who's been hit with a severe Guillain-Barré where they're actually paralyzed and wheelchair bound. There are lots of things that can help to stimulate brain growth or nerve regrowth. Nootropic agents, N-O-O-T-R-O-P-I-C. Nootropic means it makes new nerve cells grow and helps them connect. And so things that help do that are serotonin, your neurotransmitter. That is a calming agent. It helps to actually stimulate more brain cell growth. And you can stimulate more serotonin by taking tryptophan. The amino acid tryptophan helps to raise serotonin levels and can actually result in better brain cell growth. Lithium, the mineral lithium. You can get that in a supplement form. You have to look for lithium in your water. We don't have a lot here. So taking some extra lithium is not a bad thing. They've shown that, I think it's around 300 micrograms, a very small dose, is enough to stimulate growth of new brain cells. And so lithium is another nootropic agent. You know, people talk about using lithium to treat mental illness. It's actually used in very, very high dose to treat bipolar disorder. However, it's in a really, really small dose because the bipolar disorder is treated with something on the vicinity of 900 to 1200 milligrams a day, but you can actually grow new brain cells with 300 micrograms. That's less than a milligram, less than a third of a milligram. So we can really do great work with just nutrient minerals. Hey, we're down to the last 12 minutes or so, and I just want to remind people that we are on WMNF 88.5 Tampa. The number to call here so we can have a couple more phone calls is 813-239-9663. And yes, you can still text the DJ at 813-433-0885. And I believe we have a caller. Hello, Bill. Well, we'll take a pause there for the moment and answer another email. Let's see. Hello, Dr. Harvey. Can I recommend a good cookbook on the Mediterranean diet? This patient says she is in the pre-diabetes range and her doctor recommends the diet, Rhonda from Safety Harbor. So pre-diabetes, that's an interesting concept, and it probably deserves further definition. Diabetes is a spectrum illness. It's not just all or none. And most people begin to develop these early stages of going towards diabetes when they get toxic, actually. Toxicity causes some of the early stages. Toxicity causes insulin resistance. And that means your body is no longer interested in listening to the signal of insulin, which tells it to utilize sugar better. And the toxicity then results in inappropriate insulin signaling, too much insulin, obesity, and then sliding down that track into diabetes. The Mediterranean diet is an excellent diet, and people live to their hundreds using the Mediterranean diet or a modified version thereof. And basically, overall, the concept of the Mediterranean diet can apply to anyone who's eating a plant-based diet that is 80 to 90% plant and 10 to 20% animal. So your diet is plant forward. Breakfast can be vegetables or possibly some organic gluten-free grain cereal. But you want to have fruits and vegetables with that and not just the grain. Because the goal is to get, in a Mediterranean diet, 8 servings of vegetables. And that's a cup of raw leaves, a half cup of cooked leaves, a half cup of any solid vegetable. So 8 servings like that in a day, plus 2 servings of fruits like berries, high and low glycemic fruits, pears, apples, peaches, stone fruit are coming into season soon. Those are some of the best high fiber, high nutrient foods that really help somebody who is in need of a low glycemic, kind of pre-diabetes oriented diet. And honestly, I don't have a specific cookbook for the Mediterranean diet. There are so many out there, it's hard to say which is the best. And so I would actually look for plant-based recipes online, plant-based Mediterranean diet recipes, and really focus on that end of it, just looking for more plant-based Mediterranean-style foods. And the internet is such an amazing resource. I actually get most of my recipes from there. I'll put in 3 ingredients that I have in my fridge and just add those and say recipe. And then it comes up with all kinds of really cool, innovative ideas and helps me get some dinner ideas. We have callers, I believe. Do we have Bill, Todd, Eleanor, somebody to speak with?
Todd.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hey, Doc. Thanks for taking my call. I was curious if you knew anything about the drug Liptoya. I just started over at USF Cancer Center immune infusion therapy.
I have never heard of it. Liptoya?
It's called Liptayo. It actually targets melanoma, squamous cell, and basal cell.
Oh, okay. That's excellent. There's all kinds of new immune therapies out for helping get rid of some advanced cancers.
Yeah, they haven't told me anything about altering my diet at all, and I was curious if you knew anything about that.
Well, I think that I just talked about the diet that all humans need to be eating, the modified Mediterranean diet that they eat in the blue zones, 80 to 90% plant, 10 to 20% animal.
Like it. I like it. Very good.
Yes, and I think a probiotic, fish oil, a good multivitamin. These are all parts. And also, actually, cytokine balance that has those 4 herbs, herbal extracts in it. That's an important part of any cancer therapy. I have everybody that is in my practice with cancer on something called Oncoplex ES, Oncoplex Extra Strength. That is sulforaphane. If you look up sulforaphane or glucoraphanin and in PubMed, you will find thousands of articles that show how positive it is for cancer, and it doesn't interact poorly with cancer drugs.
Great. Great. Sounds good. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Have a great day, and good luck with that. Who's next online?
Good morning.
Hello, Bill.
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Harvey.
What you got for me?
I'm wondering if you have any recommendations for carpal tunnel.
Oh, yeah, carpal tunnel. That's when your wrist muscles, when your forearm muscles get tight and they entrap the nerve that goes to the first 3 fingers of your hand.
Exactly.
That is the The carpal tunnel is there right at the wrist, and things get tight in there. So things you can do, and I've actually had carpal tunnel myself, and I went and worked with a deep tissue massage therapist and somebody who does something called muscle activation technique, and we worked that carpal tunnel out. And I stopped doing the repetitive use injury that caused the problem in the first place.
Yep, my hands have started getting numb and tingling almost all of the time.
Yes, so I would get that evaluated by a physical therapist, a muscle activation technique therapist. Acupuncture works great. Deep tissue massage does. And then the last resort is surgery.
I know people have had surgery with some success.
Yeah.
I know of a good acupuncturist. I think maybe I'll try that.
I would get that and some deep tissue massage because I don't think you're going to work it out unless you get some work in the deep muscles there.
Okay. Thanks for your advice.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Good luck with that. Eleanor, I believe, is on the line.
Yes, hello?
Hi there.
Hi. I have a bone spur on the back of my heel. Would you recommend anything for that?
Well, a bone spur is actually something called a calcified tendon. What is it? A chronic tendonitis is what causes a bone spur. And so several things you can do, starting with getting good arch support for the shoes, because it is the fallen arch that puts the strain on the tendon. And then some podiatrists, foot doctors, will actually use steroid injections into that area. I like the use of class 4 laser. Often a physical therapist, a chiropractor, an acupuncturist can use that. That really calms down the area. And there are some definite stretching and muscle activation techniques that actually help to reorient that foot, working on the posture, working on arch support, and working on inflammation there. So fish oil and curcumin extracts can be really useful at calming down the inflammation in the area.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much for the recommendation.
You are so welcome. And I hope you get free from that soon.
Yes, me too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. So it looks to me as if the boards and the emails have gone to sleep. So we have about 1.5 minutes left here, so I'll just review that. I think that, you know, much of our issues in chronic degenerative disease come from inflammation and toxicity, and we can take healthy steps to work on that every day. One of them is to actually look at the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15 that the Environmental Working Group puts out. I may have time for one more. Mary's on the line. If you make it quick, Mary, we have 1 minute.
Thank you, Dr. Harvey. A friend of mine just texted me and asked me, she's facing cancer treatments and she's wondering about tamoxifen. And I know that's a general question, but do you have any opinion on like 5-year taking tamoxifen post-cancer treatment?
Or tamoxifen is highly effective at keeping cancer that's estrogen receptor positive at bay. It does have the risk of creating osteoporosis, so you have to be very cognizant of keeping bone health while you're treating the cancer with tamoxifen. So it's a very excellent medication. It's been around for years, has low adverse consequences, but we do know that you have to protect the uterus from uterine cancer, and you have to protect the bones from osteoporosis while you're treating the breast cancer with it. So it's complex, but it's doable, and many people do very well for 5 years. The 5-year survival on it is excellent. So I want to thank everybody who involved today. DJ Spaceship, thanks for doing the boards. I believe Irene is on the phones. Thanks again for that. And I'll see you next week again for an AMA. Have a great week, folks. Take some healthy steps.
You have been listening to the Healthy Steps Radio Show with Dr. Fred Harvey here on WMNF Tampa. Coming on up is 5 minutes of NPR News, and then strap in and get ready for the Sustainable Living Show, hosted by the absolutely phenomenal team of Annie Ellis and Tanya Vidovic. I want to take this moment to welcome Tanya back to the Sustainable Living Show. She has been sorely missed here at WMNF, and her return is as welcomed as lilacs in springtime. So, that said, until next Monday at 10 a.m., thank you for listening and supporting the Healthy Steps radio show with Dr. Fred Harvey here on WMNF Tampa. Your community conscious radio station. Stay safe, stay thoughtful, and know that you are loved.